We got a lot out of town, but it's good to be here. Even where two or three are gathered together in my name, the Lord said, there am I in the midst of them. So the Lord is pleased with us as long as we're doing that which is right and acceptable in His sight. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to try to bring a lesson this morning. I have a lot of problems, but sometimes I get discouraged because I can't do more than what I do. But the Lord only holds us responsible for that which we can do. As the scripture was being read, if you were listening to what Luke was reading, there was a lot mentioned in these 12 verses in 1 Corinthians 10. The Israelites came out of Egyptian bondage, and because of their ungodliness, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Many of that older generation died there. All of them had the same opportunity. All of them left slavery to have a free life. And all of them could have entered on into Canaan a lot earlier had they done what God said. We're studying the book of Deuteronomy, and there's a rehearsement or going back over all the things that happened as Moses is pointing out to the younger generation the things that they had gone through and all that had happened. But think, as we've studied from Genesis on through Exodus and now in Deuteronomy, all that has happened and all the people that died because of their sins and their rebellion against God. And so there's a lot that can be learned from the mistakes of others. And that's what I want us to think about this morning in our study. I want us to learn from the mistakes of others, lest we make the same mistakes. I want to talk about Judas, not Judas, although he would be a good one to talk about, but I want to talk about Demas and his situation and how we look at him in his earlier days and then later on as we look at him. What we know about him is very little. But the first time we hear about him, he is with Paul about A.D. 62. He's at Rome with Paul in his first imprisonment. he's mentioned three times in the New Testament. First of all, in Colossians 4 and 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Now, this is still about A.D. 62 at Rome. In Philemon, the 24th verse, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. So Paul here refers to him as a fellow laborer. He's one who's working with Paul, as Timothy and Titus did on different occasions. The next time we hear his name mentioned in the New Testament is in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. Paul said, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. This is about A.D. 66 or 67. So just a few years later, after Paul refers to him as a co-laborer with him, if you will, as a gospel preacher, who's out helping Paul and spreading the word of God while he's in prison. And so he loved this present world, Paul said, and is departed into Thessalonica. If you turn over to 1 John, the second chapter, beginning with verse 15, John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. So demons had given up that close walk with God. And he was now a lover of the world. But again, looking at him, what do we see when we look at him? A true Christian, a co-laborer with Paul. He wasn't pretending to be a Christian. Sometimes we have people that seem like go through a motion of pretense. But he wasn't pretending. Because the things during those days were hard. A person could easily be put to death for his faith. So very few people pretend to be something when their life is at stake. So he wasn't a pretender. He wasn't a person who was without experience. He had, as I said, had been with Paul. He was a co-laborer with Paul. He had evidently preached the gospel. And so he's not a new convert. He's one that's been a member of the church for a good while. Was it because he had no encouragement? Certainly not. The Apostle Paul was one of the greatest that you can read of so far as encouraging other Christians. He was always trying to encourage them to do better and to fulfill the will of God. So it wasn't because he didn't have encouragement. The Apostle Paul was there to encourage him in word, but not only in word, but in action as well. He had seen many of the things that Paul had gone through, and he realized that this was near and dear to his heart. And so he had the type of encouragement that all of us would like to have. We want those who are before us, have gone before us, to be the type of people that would encourage us to do right and give us some praise and recognition when we do right and speak of us highly. So it wasn't because he didn't have the encouragement that he should have had. And yet, he went back to the world. When we see the end of him, we see a man that's a quitter. No one has a respect for a person that gives up. Whatever the situation is, we like to see a person that continues all the way through. But Demas was a quitter. He gave up the faith. He gave up the work. He was a lover of this world, and he went back to the world. Rather than staying with Paul and continuing to fight the good fight of faith. And I believe there's a lesson here for all of us. I believe there's some things that we can see in this, that none of us are out of danger. None of us have reached a point where we can't be tempted or where we can't fall short and end up losing our soul and spending eternity in hell and after a while. And so, I can't overemphasize the importance of that. Peter says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, I'm reading from I typed it in from the New American Standard Version. He said, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. How does he do that? We talked about this one a little bit. How does the devil work through people? A lot of times through false teachers. A lot of times through family members, things that happen in our lives, sometimes through other members of the church and their behavior and their manner of lifestyle. So he can discourage us and he can cause us to look at sometime at another person and decide that we don't want any more of this life. We want to go back to the world and start enjoying the things that we left when we came out of the world into the body of Christ. Paul realized the danger of this when he wrote to the church at Corinth in chapter 9 and verse 27. He said, "But I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest it by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Some few years ago, I wrote a little poem about the thoughts of an old preacher. And I used this kind of as a header to it. I said, "I once was young and full of zeal. I preached the gospel throughout the Southland. To many it had its appeal. When they obeyed, oh, how good it made me feel. But now I'm old and my hair has turned gray. The most all my friends, they've long passed away. So I sat here waiting for the day when that long black hearse comes and carries me away. Oh, I'm sure the preacher will have a word to say before they lower me down beneath the cold, cold clay. But there's another day coming. It's called the Judgment Day. On that day, the Lord will have His say. Will I be on His right hand? Lord, I hope not on the left. But that'll all depend on which side I was on the day I met with death." And there's a lot of truth to that. We can live our life to the very end, and we can renounce our faith, and we can go back out into the world, and we can spend eternity in hell with the devil and with his angels if we are not careful to let the mistakes of others be a lesson to us and help us to be what we ought to be. Again, as was read a few minutes ago in verse 12, of 1 Corinthians 10. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall." Kevin preached a lesson on this a couple of weeks ago, I think it was. And that's something that can't be overemphasized too much. Take heed lest we fall. It is possible, and Demas is a good example for us. Demas is a witness to the fact that men can backslide. You know, there are people out there today who say, "Well, once saved, you're always saved," and there's no way. If you've entered into the church of the Lord, if you've been saved from your past sin, you can't be lost. No one can pluck you out of his hand. That's true. No one can pluck you out of God's hand, but you can walk out. He's not going to keep you against your will. And they misunderstand the Scriptures. So there are so many that we see in the Scripture, just like Demas, that go back out into the world. I'm not going to read all of it. Well, maybe I will. We got a little time. Turn with me to Acts, the 5th chapter. I want to look at verse 36 in the 4th chapter. "And Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." At this time, many of the Christians had come from other countries. And on the day of Pentecost, when they obeyed the gospel, many of them stayed on in the Jerusalem area. And it wasn't there long before they were in need. And distribution was made as everyone had made. They shared what they had with one another. And this was a circumstance that hopefully that we'll never be in. But if it should happen, then we ought to be willing to do what they did. But this was a very noble thing that Barnabas did. He sold a piece of land that he had and brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet so they could take the money and take care of the needs of those who were in need. But I want you to notice what happens. Here's a couple that are members of the church, and they see what happens, and they want some of that praise that Barnabas is getting. They want to be thought well off, and that they have made a great sacrifice. But I want to read a few verses. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all that heard these things. And the young men came in, and wound him up, or bound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carried her out, and buried her by her husband. What happened? They lied. They were pretending to do something that they were not doing. And God struck them dead for it. Have you ever thought about how many members of the church would be left if every time we misrepresented something or lied, God struck us dead? It wouldn't be very many left. And yet it's a serious thing. And it can cause people to lose their souls. It caused these two not only to lose their souls, but to lose their lives for lying to God about what they were doing. They wanted to be lifted up in the eyes of the people and to say, oh, look what they have done, when in reality they had not done what they claimed to be doing. But Peter said, you know, you didn't have to sell it. It was yours. And after you sold it, you didn't have to give it all. But the sin is that you pretended to do something that you did not do. You were lying about what you were doing in order to try to gain recognition. And so we need to let that be an example to us. In Acts the 8th chapter, Simon the sorcerer, who had bewitched the people for some long period of time, giving out that he was some great power of God, When Philip went down there and preached the gospel, and when he saw the signs and wonders which Philip did, or the Holy Spirit did through him, he also believed and was baptized, and continued with Philip, beholding the signs and wonders which was done by him. But when the church at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word, they sent down John and Peter, for as of yet the Holy Spirit had not fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. But Simon, as soon as he saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he immediately went back to where he was at when he was given out that he was some great one from God and deceiving the people through sorcery. He said, give me this power. Offered the money and said, give me this power of that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the power of the Spirit. Peter said, thy money perish with thee, because I have thought that the gifts of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart shall be forgiven you. For I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. And he came to his senses and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things that you've spoken of come upon me. But what would have happened if he'd have continued on with his thoughts? If Peter had not withstood him to the face and rebuked him, he would probably went on thinking that one day I'm going to get back in control. One day I'm going to have the preeminence and the prestige, and I'm going to be some great one in the eyes of the people. Let him be an example to us. And let Demas always be an example to us. In 2 Timothy the second chapter, verse 16 says, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their words will eat as does a canker, or we'd say a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrew the faith of many. Here is two men that's erred from the truth. They are out there preaching that the resurrection's all over with. That's the end of it. There is no resurrection. Paul talks about this a little bit in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But he said they overthrew the faith of many. What does that mean? That means that they destroyed the faith and the conviction that these individuals had, and caused them to go astray by their false teaching. So we can see that there's always a chance. There's always a possibility. There's always a danger of us going astray and leaving the straight and narrow and going back out into the world. We don't know always what causes a person to go back. But I suppose that all of us can look, and I can look with a heavy heart at several different people, probably 15 or more people that I've baptized through the years that went back out into the world. We don't always know what's causing them to go back into the world. Sometimes it's alcohol, drugs. Sometimes that's fornication, immorality. Sometimes it's ungodly friends. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." Love of money has caused a lot of people to go back to the world. You know, Philip talked about shortly after he obeyed the gospel, he had to move. The same thing just about it happened to me. I was doing pretty good down in South Alabama and working at the shipyard. I obeyed the gospel of Christ and wasn't very long before I didn't lose my job. It just played out, and I'd get a little time and split time and couldn't make a living at it, and I had to move somewhere else. I could have looked at it and said, and Philip could have, you know, if this is what it is, I thought God was going to bless me. I'm supposed to be His child now, and He ought to bless me and give me a good living. But instead of that, nothing but hard times is coming. What's wrong? Sometimes our love for money and the things of this life cause us to give up and leave the truth. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Sometimes it's just the neglect to pray and to study and to grow as we should. Hebrews 5:12-14. "For when the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of the Lord, for he is a babe." And here's some. He said, "You ought to be out teaching people, and you have to have someone come along and teach you what you needed to do to become a member of the body of Christ. You can't even tell people that you've got to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You need someone to teach you that again. You've forgotten it." Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And I want to say something to us. We may not ever know why a person leaves the faith. But our concern and our love should continue for that person. We should continue to pray. We should continue to exhort and to encourage and to do what we could to bring them back into the fold of God. And the Word of God tells us that this is our duty and our responsibility to do this. Look at James, the 5th chapter. In James, the 5th chapter, 19 and 20, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin." Look at Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 1 and 2. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And so, do men fall away? Yes. And we can look at their lives and we can learn a lesson from it and hopefully can be strengthened against making the same type of mistake that they made. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is parted unto Thessalonica. The only ones that's going to receive the crown of life are the ones that's remained faithful all the way to end, to the end. Revelations 2 and 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. I know that those of you who are here this morning probably don't need this lesson. But hopefully some of the young people here can understand that when people tell you, oh, once you're a Christian, you're saved for the rest of your life, that's not so. And we've pointed out several that has erred and has gone back out into the world and has lost their life. Again, the only way to have the salvation of your soul is to remain steadfast all the way to the end. And don't turn and go back to the world. Don't let ungodly friends. Don't let the love of money. Don't let drugs and that type of stuff cause you to give up your faithfulness to the Lord. If you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, some of you young people may be at the point where you're thinking about it. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to turn from any sin that you might have in your life and to give it up, to repent of it, and to pray God to forgive you? Do you have the courage to confess Him before this audience? Then everything is ready for you to be baptized for the remission of your sin, to be raised up, and to walk in newness of life and be a good example for others to follow. Don't ever be like Demas. If you're subject in any way to the Savior's invitation, will you come as we stand to sing?